This week is Parshas Mishpatim, and we are going to focus our shir in chapter 21, verse number 5 and verse number 6. The parsha starts that these are the ordinances that you should put in front of them, meaning these are the laws that Moshe Rabbeinu is told to give to the Jewish people. And the first law that the Torah mentions is that when you buy a Jewish slave, Rashi explains that this is discussing a person who stole and he doesn't have money to repay what he stole, then the court, the Bezdin, takes him and sells him, and the Bezdin gives the money to the person who was stolen from, and this person who paid ends up having a slave. The Torah explains what is the rule of this Jewish slave. The Torah says that 6 years this slave should work for you, and in the seventh year he should go out free. The Torah continues that if he comes alone, he should go out alone. But if he is married to a Jewish woman, then the wife should go out with him. Rashi asks, what does the Torah mean that the wife should go out with him? We never saw that the wife was sold as a slave. Rashi says that whenever a person buys a Jewish slave, he is not only responsible to feed the slave, he is also responsible to feed the slave's wife and the slave's children. But after 6 years, then the owner's responsibility to feed the wife and children end, and then it's tantamount as the woman went out with the slave, because now they are no longer the responsibility of the owner. So Rashi explains that whenever you buy a slave, you are also responsible in the support of this slave's family. Then the Torah continues and says that if the master will give him a woman, meaning that if this person is married, then the Torah gives permission to make these Jewish slaves have relations with a non-Jewish slave woman, meaning with a literal slave woman, in order for him to have children. The Torah says that if the master will give him a wife, meaning he'll give him a woman to have relations with, a non-Jewish slave woman, and he'll have sons or daughters from this slave woman, then the woman and the children should be for the masters, because since this is a non-Jewish woman, because she's a slave woman, then the children of a non-Jewish slave woman are slaves, then the children of that woman and the woman belong to the masters, and he should go out alone, meaning that he should go back to his wife and go free. But now that is going to be the focus of our class. And if saying will say the slave, and from the fact that it's written in such a peculiar way, if say will say the slave, the Talmud learns that the slave is required to say it twice, meaning that the statement that we are going to say soon, the slave is required to say that statement twice. And he says, Ohavti es Adoni, I love my master, as Ishti, my wife, which means that non-Jewish slave woman, ves Bonoi, and my children, which means the slave children that were born from this woman, lo yeitze chavshi, I do not want to go out free. Then the Torah tells you, veigishoy Adoinov el Elohim, that the master should bring the slave to the judges, veigishoy el adeles oy el hamezuza, and should bring him near to the door or to the doorpost, veratza Adoinov ezazno bemarzeya, and the master should bore his ear with an awl, vavado el oylam, and the slave should serve him forever. And Rashi explains that it doesn't mean serve him forever, it means Lo'elam Oishal Yoivol, until the Jubilee year. Again, if the slave that has relations with this non-slave woman says, I love my master, I love my non-Jewish slave woman, and I love my children, I don't want to go free after the 6 years, then the Torah gives an option for the owner to take this slave and bring him to Bezdin, and he should bring him next to the door or the doorpost, and he should make a hole in his ear with an awl, then he'll be a slave forever. Our shir today will focus on this procedure where you take this slave and you bring him next to the mezuzah and next to the door and you make a hole in his ear. Exactly why we do a procedure like that and what it symbolizes. We are first going to explain Rashi's view and then we'll give other interpretations. Rashi says that the reason that we take this slave that wants to stay longer to Beis Din is in order for us to get the approval of Beis Din of the court. Meaning, since the court is the one who sold the slaves to us because the slave did not have money to pay for his thievery, therefore we are taking him back to court to consult and let the court know that this slave wants to stay longer. And Mefarshim explained that by the slave going with the master to court, the court will tell the slave that if he is smart, he will not work longer because now he's a free man. And not only he is a free man, the owner is required to give this slave a certain percentage of all the goods that he has. And therefore the slave would be smart to leave the owner at this point. And also, now that he is free, he could serve Hashem in a better way. Then Rashi explains that we do not make a hole into the ear and the mezuzah, because it's written clearly in Devarim, chapter 15, verse number 17, that we put the hole, ba'oznoi uvadeles, in the ear and in the door, and we do not use the mezuzahs, the doorposts. Then we have to understand why are the doorposts mentioned here. Rashi explains the reason that's written the doorpost is for you to learn that in the same way that the doorposts are standing, so too, when you make the hole in the air, you have to make sure that the door is standing. Don't think that you could lay the door down and then lay the slave on top of that door and make a hole in the air and in the door. The door has to be standing when you are making the hole in that ear. The Chaskuni gives a very good reason why specifically it has to be standing. The Chaskuni explains that if this slave is going to run away from his master, meaning the slave now has to work till the Jubilee year, and if he decides to run away from the master, and the slave will claim that he is not the slave that has a hole in the ear, and he will say that he just was putting on earrings, that's why he has the hole in the ear, then we take the slave and we bring him next to the doorpost and we compare the hole that's in the doorpost to the hole that is in his ear. If it is the same hole and the same height, then we know that this is the slave that was supposed to work to the Jubilee year and ran away. Because since all the slaves are not the same height and all the ears are not the same shape, then it's very hard that you should have a hole which is exactly where the slave is. Therefore, we make sure that the slave is standing. But if you would allow the slave to lay down, then it's possible that the hole will match up anybody, because you could push a person a little bit more down, a little bit more to the side, and then make a hole. Then we wouldn't have the proof that this is the slave that has the hole in it. Therefore, for practical reasons, the Chaskuni says, we used to make a hole in the slave standing. And the Chaskuni further continues and says that the reason that we make a hole in the air is that people should not mistakenly think that this slave is a Eved Knani, is a non-Jewish slave. Because since people see that this slave is serving this master for so long, they may mistakenly think that this is not a Jew at all. This is a Canaanite slave that was bought by the master. Therefore, we follow this procedure that we make a hole in there in order for people never to forget that this is a Jewish slave. And different Mefarshim explain why specifically we make the hole at the doorway. The Torah explained that the reason that we make the hole in the doorway is because now this slave wants to serve this master, and as a slave, he's required to protect the door of his master. Sefer Shaarei Aharon gives a different interpretation, and he says that the reason that we take him to the door is to remind him why he came to this predicament, meaning what is the reason why he became a slave in the first place, meaning that since he became a slave because he was a thief, and a thief normally breaks doors to get in and steal what he needs, therefore we take him to the door to remind him that he was originally a free man, and the only reason that he became a slave is because of his theft, in order to remind him of his crime, and in order for him to repent, and in order to remind him that he once was a free man, we take him to the door. Like that he'll know why he got into this situation, and maybe he will fall back and not go through with being a slave for a longer time. The Kliyakar says simply that since we are talking about a door and doorposts, normally a door and doorposts have a mezuzah in them, and in that mezuzah we write the Parshas Shema, the portion of Shema, where the portion of Shema says, V'ahavtaz Hashem Elokecha, that you should love Hashem your God. And here this slave is changing the love of Hashem to V'ahavti es ishti v'esbonai, that I love my wife, my master, and my children. Therefore, we specifically put him next to the mezuzah to remind him about his misplaced love, and we hope he changes his mind. But if he doesn't change his mind, then we make a hole in his ear. Rashi asks, why do we specifically make a hole in the ear of this person? Why don't we use any other body part to make a hole? Rashi answers in the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that this ear that hurt in Sinai as part of the Ten Commandments, Lo yisignoi, do not steal, v'holach v'gonav, and he went ahead and he stole, tirotza, should be bored. Meaning that since the ear did not do what it's supposed to, did not hear, did not internalize what Hashem said at Sinai, that you should not steal, and he went ahead and stole, therefore we punish the ear, that the ear is now going to have a hole in it. Mefarshim asks that Rashi himself says that when the Torah writes down, Lo yisignoiv, do not steal, in the Ten Commandments, the Torah is not referring to somebody who is stealing an object from somebody else. The Torah there is referring to somebody who steals another human being. Because Rashi brings proof that since all the Ten Commandments have to do with capital punishment, therefore when the Torah says do not steal, it means do not steal a human being, because when you steal or kidnap a human being, then you are liable for death. Then Mefarshim ask, what does Rashi mean to say that the ear that heard in Sinai do not steal? At Sinai, do not steal didn't refer to stealing object, it referred to stealing a human being. Mefarshim answer, based on Rav Sadia Goen, which Rav Sadia Goen says that in the Ten Commandments is included all the 613 commandments, therefore in the main prohibition of Lo yisignoiv, do not kidnap, do not steal a person, is included all kinds of stealing. Therefore, this person should have known not to steal, but he went ahead and stole. Therefore, we make a hole in his ear. The Kliyakar asks that according to the statement of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the person should have gotten the hole in his ear 7 years previously. Meaning that if it is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, that the reason that we make a hole in his ear is because the ear neglected to hear the commandment, you should not steal, then we have a problem. Why just now you decide to make a hole in his ear? Meaning, this person is already a slave for 6 years. That means that he stole 6 years ago. If the reason that we make a hole in the ear is because he didn't hear the commandment, do not steal, and we are punishing him by making the hole in the ear, he didn't hear this commandment 6 years ago. Why just now, when he wants to stay longer, when he decides that he loves his master, he wants to stay longer, you remember that he never got a hole in his ear. He should get a hole in his ear as soon as he comes into servitude, not now that he wants to stay longer. The Kliyakar answers that we have a rule that we don't give two punishments for one crime. Meaning that the Gemara in Makos, Daf Dalet Amud Beis 4b says, it's written in the verse in Dvarim chapter 25, verse number 2, Kedei Rishasoi, that for his evilness in the singular, you punish him. Therefore, the Talmud learns, Mishum Risho Achas Ato Mechaivo, you only punish the person one punishment, Veyato Mechaivo Mishum Shtei Rishois, but you do not punish him for two things. Meaning, where there is two punishments, we choose one of them to punish. Therefore, the Kliyakar says that when this person stole, he should be really punished two punishments. He should be able to be punished to be sold as a slave, because that is punishment for the crime, and that brings restitution to the person who he stole from. And also he should be punished that he should have a hole in the ear. Therefore, since we're not allowed to punish for two punishments, we choose that we will make him a slave. And we think that making him a slave is punishment for the crime of stealing. But now, after 6 years, when this slave says, I love my master, I love my wife, and I love my children, then retroactively ended up that the servitude that he had for these 6 years was not a punishment. And the proof is that he wants to continue and now be a servant for the rest of the years until the Jubilee year, which could be another 42 years. Then it ends up being that in fact he was never punished for stealing. Therefore, now that he says that he loves his master and he wants to stay longer in servitude, he is declaring that he was not punished for stealing. Therefore, now we give him the punishment for the stealing, which is to make a hole in his ear. Going back to Rashi, Rashi then asks, there is another case that a person gets a hole in the ear. That is the case where he didn't steal. That is the case when somebody sells himself and he wants to stay there longer. Then he also gets a hole in the ear. And Mefarshim explained that this is only according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar in Kedushin, Daf Yudalot Amud Beis 14b. But according to the Rambam and according to Halacha, a person who sells himself never gets a hole in the ear. But nonetheless, Rashi wants to find out, according to Rabbi Elazar, that holds that a person who sells himself and he wants to stay there longer than the 6 years, then he gets a hole in the ear. The question is why? Rashi answers that the ear that heard in Sinai, what's written in Vayikra chapter 25, verse number 55, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, that to me the children of Israel are slaves, meaning to Hashem we are slaves. V'holach v'kana odin le'atzmoy, and this person is getting a master for himself, therefore tirza, he should be bored. Meaning that the ear that heard in Sinai that we are slaves of Hashem, and now this person, after 6 years, wants to have a master for himself, therefore he should get a hole in the ear. Mefarshim ask that Rashi doesn't make sense, because Rashi says that the ear that heard in Sinai, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, that to me, the Jewish people are slaves. As I mentioned, this pasuk is not written in Sinai, in Yisro, Yom Mishpatim, or V'eschanon. This pasuk is written in Vayikra, in Leviticus. Then what does it mean, the ear that heard in Sinai, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, that to me the Jewish people are slaves? We never heard in Sinai this verse. Mefarshim answer that Rashi doesn't mean this verse literally, that Rashi means the message of this verse. Meaning that in the Ten Commandments, in Shemos chapter 20, verse number 2, where it says, Anoichi Hashem Elokecho, Am Hashem Yo God, Asher Yotzeisicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim, that I took you out from the land of Egypt, Mibeis Avodim, from the house of slavery, which means that I took you out from slavery to become my slave. That tantamount, as it would have been written, Keli B'nei Yisrael Avodim, that we became slaves to Hashem. Because Hashem mentions it in the Ten Commandments, that Hashem is the God that took you out of Egypt from the house of slavery, which implies that now he is your master. And also in Voeschanon, in Dvorim, where the Ten Commandments are repeated, And there we are discussing the mitzvah of Shabbos. In chapter 5, verse number 16, it's written, you should do Shabbos, v'zocharto, you should remember, ki eved ha'iso be'eretz Mitzrayim, that you were a slave in Egypt, v'tziyacho Hashem elokecha misham b'yot chazoko v'izroyo n'tuyo, Hashem took you out of there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, al kein tzivcho Hashem elokecha lasos es yom ha'Shabbos. Therefore Hashem commanded you, and Rashi brings down there, al manas kein podoch, therefore Hashem saved you, shetia loy evet, that you should be a servant to Hashem, v'tishmor mitzvoisov, and you should keep the mitzvahs, which implies that Hashem took us out of house of slavery of Egypt in order that we should be the servants of Hashem. Therefore it's tantamount, as it will be written, ki li bnei Yisrael avodim, that we are servants to Hashem. Therefore, according to Rashi, this heir that heard the Ten Commandments, and in the Ten Commandments we have the message, ki li bnei Yisrael avodim, that Hashem says that you are my slaves, and this person now, after 6 years, decides to take a master for himself, therefore we punish the heir that he will get a hole in it. The Kli Yakor asks, I understand that you want to punish this person because this person took a master for himself, but he didn't take a master for himself now. He actually took a master for himself 6 years before. Then why, when a person comes into servitude, you don't make a hole in his heir? Meaning, this person became a slave 6 years before. Then he transgressed the statement, ki li bnei Yisrael avodim, that you are my slaves, because at that point he acquired a master for himself. Then we should make a hole in his heir at that point, 6 years previously. Why do we wait till now? The Kli Yakor answers that we have a rule that oynes rachmona potrei, that somebody who is forced to do something, Hashem does not punish him when he does something even though it's wrong. Meaning, when you do something under duress, you are not punished for that action. Therefore, this person who sold himself, he did it only because he didn't have money to pay his bills. He was oynes, he was under duress to pay his debt. Therefore, he sold himself. In that case, Hashem does not punish you. But now, after 6 years, where you are not getting any remuneration for continuing being a slave, you are not getting any money to pay your debts after 6 years, because you are just extending your servitude until the Jubilee year with no remuneration. Therefore, now you're really acquiring a master. Now you are not an oynes anymore, you're not doing it under duress. Now you are punished that you get a hole in the air. The Rif brought by the Ayin Yaakov in the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Chav Beis Amet Beis 22b, which is the source that Rashi brings here from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, also says like the Kli Yakor, but Meforshim analyze the language of the Rif, and through that they bring an answer to the question why, when somebody sells himself, doesn't get a hole in the air right when he sells himself, since at the time of the sale, that is when he acquired a master for himself. That Mefarshim say that since the Gemara writes down in Kedushin, Daf Chof Omed Aleph, that there the Gemara brings the Pasuk that says in Dvarim chapter 15, verse number 16, that after 6 years, when the slave is going to say that he wants to stay there, Ki toiv loy imach, because it is being good for him with you, the Gemara there says, imach b'machal, b'imach b'mishter, that he is with you in food, that he is with you in drink. The Gemara says, shloi te'ato oichel pas nekiyo, that you're not allowed to eat fine flour, v'yoichel pas kibor, you're not allowed to give the slave inferior flour. Ato shloi se'yayin yashon, that you are drinking old wine, v'u shloi se'yayin chadosh, he's drinking new wine. Ato yosh nagabe muchin, you're laying on blankets. Veu yosh nagabe teven, and he laying down on top of straw. Mikan amru, from here they say, kol hakoyne evet ivri, that anybody who buys a Jewish servant, kekoyne odom laatzmoy, is tantamount as him buying a master for himself. And Tosfos explains that if you have one pillow, you can't use it yourself, because you're not allowed to lay down on a pillow and the slave not have a pillow. You are required to give that pillow to the slave. And if you're going to think that if I don't have a pillow, then let the slave not have a pillow. Tosfos says that we have a rule that koifin amidas dom, that we force you not to act like dumb. And here, and in the case where you have one pillow, since you're not allowed to have it because you're not allowed to be superior to the slave, and yet the slave could have the pillow, then it's zenena. The slave could have benefit, vezeloi choser, and you are not missing anything. Therefore, you are required to give that pillow to the slave. So we see that whenever you acquire a slave, it's tantamount as you acquire the master, and he is the master, and you are almost like a slave. Then they explain, according to the Rif, that the Rif seems to imply that only during the first 6 years that the servant is working for you, that is only the time where you have to act like the servant is the master. Therefore, during the first 6 years, we do not make a hole in the ear of the slave, because the slave acquired a master, because in truth the slave did not acquire a master, because the slave is the master. But after 6 years, now the slave is going to be really a slave. Now if you have one pillow, you could keep the pillow. If you have a mattress, you sleep on the mattress and you let the slave sleep on the straw. So now after 6 years, the slave is really a slave. So now the slave is acquiring a master for himself. Therefore, only after 6 years, we make a hole in the ear of the slave. The Kliyakar, following his idea previously, that the reason that he gets a hole in the ear is because he said he loves his wife, here also says that the reason is because he said he loved his wife and his children, but he bases it on the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Ayin Omed Aleph 70a, where the Gemara there says, V'omar Rabbe Bar Avada, and Rabbe Bar Avada said, V'omar lo, and some say that Omar Absalo, Omar Rabbe Nuna, that Rabbe Salo said in the name of Rabbe Nuna, Kola noiso isho she'eino hogenes, anybody who marries a woman that is not fit for him, meaning it's a legal wife, it's a woman that you're not allowed to marry, then Eliyahu koifsoi, Eliyahu ties him into the whipping block, v'akodesh baruch hu rotsoi, and Hashem whips him. That's the normal interpretation brought by Rashi. But the Kliyakar notes that it says akodesh baruch hu rotsoi, Hashem does roitzoi, and roitzoi comes from the word marzeya, from the word that all. So therefore the Kliyakar says that Hashem makes a hole in the ear of somebody who marries a woman that's not proper for him. And here, since this person now wants to stay with his shiksa wife, with his slave woman, and he says, "Ahavti es ishti, I love my slave woman, my non-Jewish wife, Vesbonav, and my children," therefore now it's tantamount of him marrying a woman that's not proper for him. Therefore Hashem tells us that we have to make the hole in the air as Hashem would have done it to somebody who marries a legal wife. Meaning that up to now, during the first 6 years, even though the Torah allows the owner to give him a non-Jewish woman to have children with, the Torah only allows it because the Torah values so much the ownership of the money that the Torah wants that this slave should do restitution no matter what. And to encourage an owner to buy a slave, the Torah throws in that this slave will have children with your non-Jewish slave, and therefore the owner will pay more money for the slave, therefore he'll be able to pay back the people he owed or the people he stole from. But now, after 6 years, where there is not going to be any more restitution, now he's just staying with the owner because of the non-Jewish woman and because of the non-Jewish children, therefore the Torah tells you now that he's tantamount of him marrying a woman that's not proper for him, therefore we make a hole in his ear. I saw an idea from Sefer Shemeroish, which is almost like the idea of the Kliyakar, but Sefer Shemeroish brings this idea on the next portion of that Rashi. Because Rashi continues and says that Rab Shimon hayodoyrish mikrozi kemin choymer, that Rab Shimon used to expound this verse as a packet of pearl or a packet of spices. Meaning used to expound this verse in a beautiful way. Meaning, the Gemara says, Manishtanu delus mezuzah mikol kelim shebayis. What makes a door and the doorpost unique more than any of the furnishings in the house? Reb Shimon answers, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem said, Delus mezuzah shayu eid me Mitzrayim, this door and this doorpost that were witnesses in Egypt, kesheposachti al hamashkoif v'ashtei mezuzos, during the plague of the firstborn, where the Jewish people stained the doorpost with the blood of the Bris and the blood of the Pesach, and Hashem jumped over those doorposts and he killed all the firstborn of the Egyptians, then these doorposts were witnesses that Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, that the Jewish people are slaves to Hashem, veloy avodim lavodim, and they are not slaves to the slaves of Hashem. And the Gemara continues what's not written in Rashi, and the Gemara says, "Vo'tzeisim ma'avdus lecheiros," and I then delivered the Jewish people from slavery to freedom. "V'holach zeh," and this person goes, "V'kono odon le'atzmoy," and he decides to get himself his own master because he wants now to work after the 6 years, after he's entitled to go free. Therefore, yirotza bifneim, let them have his ear pierced in front of them, meaning in front of the mezuzos and in front of the door. Let the door and the mezuzos be witnesses that this slave is not doing the proper thing. Tosfos on the Gemara there in Kedushin Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis 22b brings the Medrash, which is brought down here by the Baal Turim, that the numerical value of the word Marzeya all is 400, because the Mem is 40, the Reish is 200. That's 240, the tzaddik is 90, that's 330, and the ayin is 70, that makes it 400, which signifies that you were supposed to be a slave for 400 years, but Hashem took you out before its time, because Hashem wanted you to be his slave, but you decide to take a master for yourself, therefore you should get a hole in the air in front of the witnesses, which are the doorpost and the door. The Mincha Belula says that according to this, we understand why specifically we have to make sure that the door and the doorpost are standing. Because since they are witnesses, and we have a rule that witnesses always have to testify standing, therefore Hashem said that you have to stand up the door and the doorpost in order to testify on this person that he is doing something wrong when you're making a hole in this air. Sefer Shemeroish goes back to the idea that Hashem jumped over the doorpost when we came out of Egypt. And he wants to find out what is that idea that we had to paint our doorpost, that we put the blood of the Korban Pesach and the blood of the circumcision on the doorpost in order for Hashem to jump that house over. Because he has a very big question. We know Rashi on Parshas Boy, chapter 12, verse number 13, the pasuk says, "V'loye bochem negev," that there will not be a plague amongst you. Rashi says, but there is going to be a plague of the Egyptians, meaning that if an Egyptian hid in the house of a Jewish person and he was a firstborn, then this Egyptian died at the death of the firstborn. In the opposite, if a Jewish person was in the house of the Egyptian, even though that Jewish person was a firstborn, that Jewish person did not die. That means that irrelevant if you painted your doorpost with blood or not, Hashem himself passed over the houses, and Hashem knew where the Egyptian is and where the Jewish person is, and regardless where the Egyptian was, even if he was in the house of a Jewish person, which theoretically was protected by the blood on the doorpost, nonetheless that Egyptian died. And if the Jewish person was in the house of an Egyptian, which was unprotected by the doorpost, that Jewish person survived. Then what is the purpose of putting the blood in the doorpost? Clearly, the blood in the doorpost is irrelevant for Hashem saving or not saving. Then what is the purpose or the meaning that Hashem wanted us to put the blood in the doorpost? Sefer Shemeroish explains that the idea of the blood on the houses was to show the Jewish people and show the Egyptians the reason why Hashem is saving the Jewish people. Meaning that in Parshas Pinchas, there we have on chapter 26, verse number 5, where it says, L'chanoich mishpachas ha-chanoichi, where Hashem puts a hey and a yud in front of every Jewish family's name, as Hashem will be testifying to their purity. Because Yud-Kei is the name of Hashem, Rashi there asks, why is this necessary? Rashi says that the nations of the world used to make fun of the Jewish people. Then how can we testify to our family's genealogy if the Egyptians controlled our bodies, meaning the bodies of the Jewish people when we were slaves? Then for sure they controlled our wives, meaning they could have relations with our wives anytime they want. And specifically the Egyptians, which are known to be a nation full of immorality, then for sure that they would have control over our wives. And the nations of the world were mocking the fact that we are listing our genealogy, our family purity. Therefore Hashem wanted to testify that the Jewish people are all pure, therefore Hashem put the Yud-Kei, Hashem's name, on the families in order to testify that we are all pure, that none of us assimilated or had relations with the Egyptians. And this is the meaning of the Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 122, verse number 4, Shiftei Ka, tribes of Yud-Kei, Edus Le'Israel, that Hashem himself is a testimony that the Jewish people are pure, meaning that they did not assimilate, because Hashem himself puts the Yud-Kei on our family names. As a matter of fact, Rashi on Parshas Emor, chapter 24, verse number 11, where it says that V'shem Imoy Shloimis Bas Divri, that the name of the mother of the Egyptian who cursed Hashem is Shloimis Bas Divri, Rashi says, Shvachon Shel Yisrael, the fact that it's written the name, it's a praise to the Jewish people, Loimar, to tell you, Shehi Levado Hoisozoina, that she is the only one who actually had relations with somebody else. Meaning that out of the old Jewish population, nobody ever had relations with an Egyptian, just this one, Shlomis Bas Divri, and out of that relation came out this Mitzri, which cursed Hashem. So we see that the Torah itself testifies that the Jewish people never had relations with any Egyptians, and they never assimilated. Meaning that this was considered a great feat. The Jewish people are slaves in Egypt for 210 years, and during this whole time, not a single Jew assimilated, even though it says Vatimale Oretz Oisom, that the earth became full of the Jewish people, which means that the Jewish people went out to the Egyptian world, and they wanted to get the Egyptian jobs, and they wanted to become like the Egyptians, so much so that they actually did idolatry, as the Medrash says, Halalu Oivda Voidazora, that the Egyptians did idolatry, the Halalu Oivda Voidazora, and the Jewish people did also idolatry. But nonetheless, when it came to having relations, when it came to give up your heritage, to give up your Jewishness, none of them ever had relations with a single Egyptian. Neither the man had relations with an Egyptian woman, and neither the woman had relations with an Egyptian man, with only one exception, Shloimis Bas Divri. Therefore, says Sefer Shemeroish, Hashem wanted everybody to know what merit we have that we are leaving Egypt. Hashem told us that we should circumcise right before our getting out of Egypt, and we should take that blood and put in the doorpost to show that we never assimilated, that from the doorpost inside the house, we are all Jewish and we did not have relations with anyone that's not proper for us. Therefore, continues Sefer Shemeroish and says that this slave, now after 6 years where he could go free, and he says that Ohavtias Ishti, that I love my non-Jewish woman, I love this slave woman, I love my non-Jewish children. He is uprooting all the lessons that we had in Egypt, all the control that we exercise in Egypt by not assimilating. He is throwing it all away. We decide to take him to the doorpost for him to remember that even though we were in Egypt for 210 years, nonetheless,
we are able to control ourselves,
and that is the reason why Hashem saved us.
Therefore, if the slave doesn't get the message, we take him to the doorpost and we make a hole in his ear, because he should have learned the message of the doorpost, that Hashem specifically told us to put the blood on the doorpost in order to remind us that this is the reason why Hashem became our master, why Hashem took us to be his slaves, and he saved us from Egypt. And yet this slave chose to ignore this message and not hear it, therefore we make a hole in his ear. And Hashem Yisburach should help that the same merits that we had in Egypt, we should again have those merits. Then Hashem will redeem us from all the places that we are in. Mashiach will come, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. Bimhera Bayomeinu, Amen.